Well, we started a series last week about the mind. And I have been around long enough that, how many of you know the name Tim LaHaye? You know, back in the 70s and early 80s, he wrote a book about he wrote a book called Battle for the Mind. I remember reading it or reading parts of it and going, yeah, this is good stuff. And then Joyce Myers, for several years in the 90s, she had a book out called The Battlefield of the Mind, you know, and she'd had some pretty good teaching on that, and I listened to a lot of that. And one of the things that God did in my life about the time I hit 26, 27, is God began to show me that for me to change, for me to grow, I needed a different mindset. I had to change my mind. And so God over the years has been working on my mind. And then last year, maybe a year and a half, maybe coming up on 2 years ago, Craig Groeschel wrote a book called Winning the War in Your Mind. And I thought, okay, God, this is probably something that is meant to be hit every once in a while. And I don't want to say it's simple, because I think to change our mindset is not easy. But if we're going to make it in this world, we have to have the mind of Christ. And so, you're going to get some of my experience, you're going to get a lot of scripture, and over the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at ways that we can change our mindset. And we hit on a few things last week, but just real lightly. Well, we're going to dig in a little more deeper this week. And so, I want you to allow the Word of God, as we share it over the next few weeks, to permeate your mind. Because if you allow that to happen, God will change your mind. He will begin to change you. And through His Holy Spirit, He will begin to help you to surrender your mind to the Scriptures, to what He's thinking, to His way of thinking. One of the verses that I liked is in Ephesians 5, and Paul is talking about husbands and wives, but he starts out by talking about Christ and how Christ, by using the Word of God, He said, wash your minds. And for me, that has a picture, that's a picture that has stuck with me for decades now. And how we are to use the Word, we're to use the Scriptures to just wash our mind. And I think that as we memorize Scripture and as we stay in the Word, I think God does that. And He brings things up. And so, young people, wash your mind in the Word. Get the Bible and just start pouring it in there, okay? So, as we get started today, perhaps the most powerful verse in helping us know God's will in winning the battle is this. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Don't think like the world. Don't act like the world. Don't behave like the world. I think sometimes as Christians we think we have to fit into the world to win the world. I don't think that's true. I think God, when people see a genuine love in you for them, it wins them. And I don't think we have to copy the world. In fact, Scripture says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you, let Him renew you, let Him change you, let Him rearrange whatever word you want to put in there, but let God transform you into a new person by changing, what is it? How does He change us? He changes us by the way we think, all right? I don't know about you, but thinking has got me in a lot of problems into my life. when I think some thoughts, I go, well, yeah, why not? That could be me. Yeah, sure. Thinking has got me into a lot of problems, into a lot of stories. I'm not going to tell all my stories. But I am amazed how fast I find that I need to transform my mind in an ongoing process. Guess what? You don't just transform your mind once and it stays there. Do you guys know that? There was a day when I ran, when I lifted weights, and I weighed about half of what I weigh now. You know what? If you quit those kinds of things, then you put on the weight. It's just nature, you guys. When I was in college and I played on the college soccer team and we were running and running and running and running, you get the picture. But God wants to transform my mind. And it's an ongoing process to continue to grow, to continue to change, to continue to behave Christ-like. I want to start with a story, and this goes way back. When there weren't cruise controls in all cars. Does anybody know that there weren't always cruise controls? I know you guys think there are always cruise controls, but there weren't always cruise controls. And back in my 20s, I had driven a car, really, really super fancy cars had cruise controls, right? And so Carol and I were going on this long trip to California, and I wanted a cruise control. And so they had started making aftermarket cruise controls, okay, that you could stick on your car. And being somewhat technically minded, nowhere near my friend Brett, but thinking I can do this, I pretty much followed the directions, you know, and we were supposed to leave. This is probably what drove my wife crazy in those days. We were supposed to leave, you know, at like 10 in the morning, and I bought this thing at 8 and said, give me a couple of hours, I'll have it put on. Yeah, probably said a half an hour. Yeah, there's not that many parts here. I can get this on. Well, probably about 4 o'clock that afternoon, I had it put together. Okay? And so that's, you know, having a cruise control was going to save me all those hours that I just put into the car, right? All right, well, so we get in this car and we take off, and I think it was a 1970 or 1982 Datsun B210 pickup, extended cab, right? And so we're headed down to California, and I start using the cruise control. And this puppy is so fun to drive. Hey, Carol, look at this. You know, and pretty soon we're coming up on a car, and I'm putting the brake on, and nothing's happening, right? And I'm going, oh no, you know, and I'm going, oh, I hit the off button. You know what? You have to hook a cruise control up right or it doesn't stop. Nowadays, they do that for you when they build the car. And when you put your foot on the brake or when you change gears, it quits. Well, this didn't want to quit, because I had my wires crossed. My wiring got crossed, and sometimes even when you are as old as I am, those neurological pathways need to be changed and rewired. And so we're going to look at that today, at a way to do that. And if you were with us last week, we talked about the neural pathways that take place in our brain, you know, that more often, as you think that one thought, it's easier for another thought, just like it, to come in. And so every time you think a thought, you're creating a new pattern of thought or a new pathway. And so, all right, for an example, we have baby Drew. Can I use baby Drew? Okay, baby Drew. We got baby Drew. This is fictitious. We'll see if it works. But we got baby Drew, and when mom smiles at baby Drew, oh, goo goo ga 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 ga, You know what Drew does? He smiles back. And when he smiles back, Mom smiles back even more. And so all of a sudden, there is a neural pathway that's made that, oh, when I smile at Mom, Mom smiles at me. When Mom smiles at me, I smile more. And there's that neurological pathway that gets going. When Drew touches something hot, ouch! Oh, don't touch something hot. When Drew wants a sucker and Mom says no, Drew cries. And when Drew cries, Mom gives him a sucker. What does he learn? If I cry, I'm going to get what I want. Yeah. You know what? Even I'm working on that one. But there are pathways that our mind begins to take the more we do these things. The more we think a thought, it is easier to think that thought again. Now, that can be good when the thoughts that we think are good thoughts, but it can be bad when those thoughts are the lies from the enemy, okay? And I'm going to tell you right now that the enemy is always lying to us because his whole thing is to rob, kill, and destroy you. He's not a good guy. In fact, they call him the father of lies, right? So why are we so irrational at times? It's because the wires get crossed in our mind. And most of life's battles are won or lost in our mind. So let's go back and look at a couple of scriptures from last week. And it's this, 2 Corinthians. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. And we talked a little bit about that last week. We have to be careful. Don't play the same game that the enemy plays. Don't play the same game that people who are not looking out for your good play. You know what? Don't argue on Facebook or Instagram or what have you. It's not going to do any good. I know some people think that they have a calling to argue. I haven't found it as one of the gifts, but, you know. Our mind is a battlefield. And so, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish those strongholds. And a stronghold is this. For what we're talking about, a stronghold is this. It is a wrong pattern of thinking. It's a place where the wires in our brain have been crossed. Okay? So we need to demolish those things. And we demolish them, it says, arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. As a young man, I had to learn to take every thought captive. As an old man, I have to learn to take every thought captive. Because I still, at times, will hear the lie of the enemy. And he'll say to me, uh-oh, you blew it. You said, you did, blah, 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 and now this person is going to be ticked off. And all of us, and then this thing just blows up in my mind, and I'm worrying. I'm not a worrier. All of a sudden, I'm worrying. Because the enemy puts that lie with a little bit of truth, okay? I did say this, or I did say that. This is, or I texted this, or I texted that, and that's not what I meant. That's why I don't like texting, because you can't see the smile on my face or the goofy look that I'm doing when I'm texting you something. You don't know my heart. You don't know my intent. And I let the enemy get in there sometimes and mess with me. I know probably nobody else is like that but me. But I want to take every thought obedient to Christ. And why does every thought matter? It matters because your life is always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. What comes into our minds usually plays out in our lives. Now, not always, but I'm going to tell you something. If you think those things long enough, they become who you are. We cannot have a positive life with a negative mind. I've seen people who walk on that side of negativity try to be positive, and it doesn't work, and it doesn't last very long. Because if your mind is negative, your life is also going to be negative. When those wires are crossed, things don't work right. I can't get the car slowed down. I can't get my brain slowed down. The cruise control is not working. And I really think our minds shouldn't be put on cruise control. Anyway, because that'll get you in lots of trouble. If you don't control what you think, you'll never be able to control what you do. So today and in the coming weeks, we're going to look at some creative ways, some tools to try to train our mind. How many of you have ever thought about training your mind? Anybody? Okay, yeah. A few of you train your mind. You know, now, what do we normally do? We like to train the dog, right? We train the dog. We like to train a child. Keep working on that, everybody. We like to go through training to accomplish our goals. Riley and I this week had a couple of great conversations about this because Riley is a trainer. I don't know if all of you know that or not, but he trains people how to run better, faster, longer. I don't know why, but he makes money and that's good. All right? And so we were talking about training our mind. And so I asked him, I said, where does it start? And he says, well, it always starts in the mind. He says, always starts in the mind. And then he went on, and sometimes if you get Riley on the right topic, you can't turn Riley off, okay? He is a smart kid, and he knows a lot, all right? And so he says, well, I said, Riley, I need the bridged version of this, not the unabridged. And so we began to talk, and he says, well, two things, he said, I would narrow it down to. He says, you have to have the will. You have to have the will. If you don't have the will to run, if you don't have the will to learn to run better, you're never going to run better. That's right, Riley. Didn't you say that? Okay, shaking his head, yes. Okay. And then he said, you have to have a disciplined lifestyle. And I've watched Riley. Runners eat a lot of carbs. And I look at him eat those carbs and I think, wow, I would weigh 600 pounds if I ate all the carbs that he eats. But see, he runs. I don't. So you have to start with the mind, have the will to do it, and then a disciplined lifestyle. And so we're going to look today at training our minds. So I want you to get out of, don't act like, okay, this isn't like training the dog, okay? I still have not yet trained my dog to do almost anything, okay? So this is training yourself, training our minds. And so when we look at training, we often think it's all about the physical part of training. You know, run more, jump more, lift, do push-ups, do sit-ups. We think about the physical part, but that's not all training is. It's also what you put into it. It's also what you eat, what you read, what you put into your mind. So there's all kinds of things that go into training our minds. And it's not just on how we've been thinking, but it's also what we pour into our minds that can either train our mind to continue believing the wrong thing, or we can train our minds with truth. Okay? And so we have to set up a whole new way of thinking. And if you look at the life of Paul, you can see the progression in his life and ministry as he started to renew his mind. You know, we think of Paul as getting saved and then immediately going and doing all the stuff he did. There were years and years and years that he let God train him under godly guise. We see a couple of references, really. But if you look at the lifeline of Paul, there were 10, 12, 13, 14 years before he even started a lot of his missionary trips. And so the renewing of our minds is not an immediate thing. So don't get discouraged, you know. So as we learn to train our minds, it's not just about the training. It's what you're putting into it. Do you keep your old beliefs? And how do you create a whole new belief system? And so we're going to look at the letter that Paul sent to the Philippian church, okay? And Paul was writing from a Roman prison, all right? So he wasn't in the Hilton, okay? He was in house arrest, and it's kind of debated here and there, but a lot of times I think he had the chains on. And then sometimes I think he had a guard that would take his chains off. But he was always under house arrest, and he was awaiting a trial that most likely would have executed him. And so he's kind of in a worst case scenario here, and still this is what he said. He said, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing." Now, Paul's kind of like a preacher. When he says one final thing, he doesn't always mean one final thing. That means there's one final thing, but then there's probably three more final things. But he says this. He says, one final thing. And this is what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, okay, God let me down, but. He doesn't say, I can't go on with my life. He doesn't say, I'm in prison and I don't know what to do, but somehow, glory to God. He doesn't say that. This is what he says. He says, one final thing. He says, fix your thoughts. Ooh, fix your thoughts. That is a good word. Look, turn to somebody and say, fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts. Okay? All right. Tell me to fix my thoughts. I will. I will. I promise. Okay? And so, he didn't say fix your thoughts on a worst case scenario, on what you hate and what you're afraid of and what could go wrong, but fix your mind on what is, and here is the list he picks. He says, fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable. Wow. Wow. You mean I can't fix my thoughts on what's wrong? I can't fix my thoughts on my stupid boss? I can't fix my thoughts on the car that I drive right now and I should be in a Maserati? No. He says, fix your thoughts on all of these true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable things. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. That is so cool. And so at a what I now consider a young age of 27, 28, 30, I begin to go, huh, this makes sense. And I am already somewhat of a, I try to think positive, you know. I always thought I could do it, even inside when I knew I couldn't. And so, all of a sudden, God is saying, time to change. Time to change the way you think, Steve. Time to change the way you think. And then, I like the New King James. And this is what it says in that passage. It says, if there is anything, any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, what's it say? Meditate on these things. We're to meditate on the good things. You know, meditation has gotten a bad rap in the Western church because we look at it the way they do in the East, as a spooky. I mean, you don't have to be on TV too long to have some commercial or some program where you see some numbnuts, somebody sitting in some lotus position or something, trying to meditate and clear their mind of everything. Well, that's not what meditation is, you guys. That's Eastern meditation. And that's where the enemy has taken it, because you know why? Because the enemy wants us to clear out our mind of everything. And that's what Eastern meditation does. It says, clear your mind of everything. Well, that sounds like a place to put a lot of negative things. But see, God says we're to meditate. I want to give you another definition of meditation. I want to show you just how scriptural and healthy the right kind of meditation can be. Here it is. To engage in mental exercise to focus one's thoughts. Okay? That's our definition that we're going to use for meditation. And if you look at Scripture, there are many examples of godly people meditating on the things that are true and lovely and admirable and excellent. In fact, God often said, I want you to remember. Meditate. There's a lot of these words, fix, meditate, remember, kind of all clumped together and have meanings that are intertwined and tangled up together. And we're to meditate on the power of God's word. And the psalmist says in Psalms 119, he says, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I'm focusing my mind, God, on your truth, his precepts. And I'm thinking and I'm contemplating your ways. Because God's ways are amazing. I'm training my mind to see your truth, God. And then look at Psalms 143:5 says this, I remember the days of old, and I meditate on all your works. And that's what God told the Israelites to do. You know, the Old Testament is so amazing to me because, you know, I used to look at it as this place of rules, and God was always trying to get their attention by being mean. And in the last few years, as I've gone through and I try to read through the Bible every year, it's a good, do it, start doing it. I started too late. I started in my 40s. But I've done it every year since then. And what I have found, especially in the last few years, is that as I look at the Word of God, whether it's the old or the new, He's always pursuing us and He's always saying, remember, I'm a good God. And remember, if you will turn to me, you're healed. You can have a life. So I meditate on all your works, and I love this word. I muse on the works of your hands. Isn't that cool? I meditate on your works, and I muse on the work of your hands. I'm focusing my mind, God, on your truth. I'm training my mind to see your truth. I am remembering all that you have done. God, from the very beginning of reconciling men and women to himself, has said, remember, remember, remember. When I remember all the times that God has gotten me out of sticky situations, it's unbelievable. The times that he saved my life physically from being killed in a car wreck or a motorcycle wreck or you name it. When I remember the goodness of God, all of a sudden, here I just go, God, you are good. You have your best for me. In meditation, the Eastern philosophy is to empty your mind. You empty your mind and you try to focus on nothing and get into a state of calm. You know what? If you got an empty mind, you got a playground for the devil. I'm sorry, but that's the reality of it. But when we think of it as Christian meditation, it's not emptying our mind. Instead, it's filling your mind with truth. There is no emptying. It's a filling. It's a rejuvenating. It's a remembering. It's fixing your mind. It's training your mind. I'm not going to get through all this today, but I got to tell this story. So, you like stories, right? Especially when they go with a message. So, Carol and I, you know, have you guys noticed there's nothing good on TV for the most part? There just isn't. So we're always looking for something, especially on a Friday night, which is our date night, and we kind of unwind. And so we're looking for something that's fun and benign, and we come across the original Lost in Space, okay? And so it's on Amazon Prime, I think, is where we found it. Anyway, so these guys are going out, you know, because the year is 1997 and there's no more breathable water on Earth or something like that. Okay, well, that's about as much science as Lost in Space has, too. But anyway, so they're out there. But you know what? These guys pray. They pray to the God in heaven. And there's this one that we're watching, and these guys get stuck on a planet, and I don't know how come they're stuck on this planet, but they're stuck on this planet. And space cowboys and aliens keep coming, you know? And so this one time, this alien group shows up, and they have a spaceship that's controlled, and they're only heads. Okay? So they're only heads. And so they're only heads, and then their system to navigate is these four brains. You know, they have a picture of the brain just kind of glowing. And it's these four brains. And one of the brains, something has happened to one of the brains, and to get home, they need another brain. And so, long story short, they end up getting Will, because he's small and he can fit in their little space capsule, because these guys are all heads, so they don't need a lot of room, okay? And so it is really funny, you guys, but there's a point to this coming, okay? So they need a brain to get home, and so Dr. Smith convinces them that Will is the brain they want because he's a little guy. And so they capture Will. Dr. Smith brings him, he's a bad guy, it brings him to the aliens and says, this is the brain you want. This is the one that will get you home. And so they're there, and he's in there, and these heads are talking to Will, and they're saying, we need your brain to get home. Will you help us get home? And he goes, no, I'm not going to go with you guys. Well, we have the ability to keep you right here. No, he says, we need your brain to get home. And then they begin to say to him, we need you to empty your brain. You can't think any thoughts. We need you to empty your brain. Does that sound like something the devil would say to us? Thought it was very interesting. And he goes, I can't. I can't. And he says, you must. We have to get home. I cannot empty my brain. The only thing I can think about are the people who love me and the people who care for me and the people I love. And there's no way I can empty my brain because it's too full of the things that matter. And they cannot use will because his brain won't empty so they can fill it with their own garbage. And I was watching that and I'm going, God, how often is that us? You want us to fill our brains with good. You want us to fill our brains with what's right. And the devil wants us to empty our brain and fill it with his garbage. Train your mind to think good thoughts. Train your mind, like Paul said, think on these things, whatever is good, whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is reputable. These are the things I want you to think about. Didn't know you could get a sermon out of Lost in Space, did you? I'll go just a little bit longer. But the thing that we need to learn to do as we train our brain is we need to learn to focus. It's an interesting word in the Bible. Kind of goes a lot along with meditation, you guys. Fixing your thought. There was a Karate Kid had a remake of and Jackie Chan was in it. Now, I never watched it. I like the original, you know, with Mr. Miyagi. But he makes this statement, Jackie Chan makes this statement when he's talking to Daniel. And he says, this is what he says. He says, your focus needs more focus. Sometimes, you guys, you and I need more focus. Some of you need to focus more on what God wants and let your wires be put in the right places. When you don't have the wires set to the brake, so that you can turn off that cruise control, your brain runs wild. Your focus needs more focus. We need to focus on what is true. We need to fix our minds on the things of God, because when our minds drift, and I know my mind can drift, this has been a tough week for Carol and I with some stuff going on in our extended family. And it's easy to let your mind drift and to take on the concern and to take on the worry and to forget, hold it, God, you're in control. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. And if I'm not careful, my insecurities drift into my own fears, into the worst case scenarios. And the devil begins to whisper these little lies, because often his lies have a part of truth in them. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but they do. And Paul, right before he says what we're to fix our thoughts on, he says this, "Dear brothers and sisters, no, I have not achieved it," but listen to this, "but I focus on this one thing. I forget the past." You know what? Some of you need to let go of the past. Your past is holding you down. Your past is killing you. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. What lies ahead for us, you guys? Heaven. What lies ahead for us? God's peace, God's truth. His amazing way of doing things, even in the middle of chaos. This church has had a lot of chaos this week. There's a lot of things going on in the church. I know there's a lot of things going on in your lives. But he says, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. That's where we want to go. That's what we want to do. We need to focus our thoughts. And then he says this to Timothy. And I like this. I hadn't seen this before and put it in context, but he says, hey, Tim, until I get there, because see, he has written each one of these churches believing that he was going to get back to every one of them and be in person at every one of them. Didn't happen. But he says this to Timothy. He says, and I love this, focus on reading the scriptures to the church and encouraging the believers and teaching them. That's why we do what we do. Equip, empower, encourage. That's what Mountain View is about. Not just so you have more knowledge, but so that you have the knowledge of Christ and you can share it with others. That's what it's about. Focus on reading the scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers, and teaching them. God is so good, you guys. God is amazing. And he wants us to change our mindset. Let me see where I want to end here. Well, let's write these down. I'm not going to give you all the information I have, but the second thing after we focus, after we learn to focus, and I spoke about this last week, I prayed for you that God would show you the mindset or the stronghold that is getting in your way. Because most of us have something like that, that messes with us, that keeps us from moving to the next stage that God wants to bring us to. And if you can't identify it, and I think most of us, if we sit down and we think a little bit, we can identify it. We can go. And if you can't, then sometimes God will show you. You'll go through a stinking thinking fit, and you go, where did that thing come from? And you realize it was from the pit, and it needs to be dealt with. So identify your stronghold. Identify where your wires are crossed. Because if you can't identify it, you can't defeat it. Now, God will show you if you ask. That's the amazing thing about him. You know, maybe your wrong mindset has something to do with finances. Or maybe it's your health. Or maybe it's other relationships. Or maybe it's an addiction of some kind. Let God show you what that is, what that stronghold is that you need to deal with first. You know, so often we if we don't take them in the order that God wants to deal with them in, they don't get dealt with. And it's important. So find out. And then speak the truth to it. Meditate, speak the truth, rewire your brains. Okay, I am not talking about, we're not trying to heal ourselves, okay? God does the healing. God is the one who does this. We're not speaking positive confession. It is positive confession, but it's not, just because I say it over and over and over doesn't mean I'm going to change. I'm going to change because of what God does in my mind, and as I learn to say, forgive me, and I'm obedient. See, sometimes we think if we just say these things and we say them out loud, but we don't obey what God says, because I can tell you something. If he shows you a stronghold, he's going to show you a way out. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God gives us a way out. Look it up. It's God's goodness that does this. Write down John 16:13. And when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard, and he will tell you about the future. The Holy Spirit is here to help you see, understand, and open your eyes. And the Holy Spirit will always give glory to the Son and to the Father. And then Colossians 3:10, put on your new nature. I like this one. I mean, we're taking the old rags off, you guys, and we're putting on the new nature, and we're renewed as we learn to know our Creator and become like Him. Did you see that part? And become like Him. That's the cool part. We become like Him. We put on that new nature. We're renewed as we learn to know our Creator. That's exciting. Those are exciting things, you guys. And then the fourth thing is we need to solidify our new beliefs. We need to write it, think it, confess it until God's truth rewires our minds. I didn't have a phone that I could write things on when I did this. You know what I used? I used those little computers called 3x5 cards. And I used to wear a suit coat a lot, and so I would get those. Do you guys know what a 3x5 card is? Okay. You don't know? Okay, I'll show you one. Okay. But they're these little cards, and we used instruments called pens and pencils. And we wrote on them, I wrote on them the verse that God had given me that week. Because this mind needed a lot of clearing out. And as I began to read those scriptures, and as I began to memorize those scriptures, and as I began to confess those scriptures, God rewired my brain, my thinking, my attitudes, my love for my wife, my love for my kids. I like this. Proverbs 3:3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you, but bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. How cool is that? I expect you guys to have 3x5 cards hanging from your neck next Sunday. Or show me on your phone. Okay? Guys, we have to be proactive here. God wants to use each one of us. He wants to use every one of you to be light and salt to this world. And you know, the next part after Proverbs 3:3 is 3, 4, 5, and 6. Yes, it is. You know? And listen to this. So after we do 3:3, this is what he does. He says, then you will find favor with both God and people. Oh! And you will earn a good reputation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do and He will show you which path to take. He's going to create a path. So besides Proverbs 3:3, add 4 through 6 on that too and read that. And then as we come in to land this plane, Hebrews 10:16. And this is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. How? This is cool. He's going to write them up here for us. He's going to create neurological pathways for us. He's going to put the laws in our hearts and write them on our minds. It is so cool. And then, earlier, right before 16, he says this. Or after 16, he says this. I will never again remember their sins and their lawless deeds if they begin to change their minds. Oh, I like that. I got sins. I had sins. I don't got sins no more. I sin, but I ask forgiveness. I'm free from sin. I don't know. God's way of thinking is so amazing. So unbelievable. If you don't control what you think, you'll never control what you do. Let's stand. How many of you want to win the battle of your mind? I do. I want to win. I want this thing won. I want to walk in victory, even when it doesn't feel victorious. I want to walk in victory, even when the devil lies to me and says, you're not. I want my family, I want my kids, I want my grandkids to be who God has called them to be. And you know what? I believe that that starts with me, that I am right with God. They have to make their own choice. But God wants to give us the desires of our hearts, you guys. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done, for making a way for me to be made right and acceptable to the Father. I ask now that you would show each one of us those areas in our lives, in our minds, in our thinking that need to be changed. I pray, Jesus, that you would rewire our minds as we think about you, as we think on things that are lovely and pure. God, you want to change us. God, may we take seriously this call to change our minds. God, may you renew us and refocus us so that we can speak life and speak truth to those around us. See, God, you have called us to this world. You've called us to be salt and light. And as we change, may we cause change around us, in our families, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our schools, wherever you put us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Help us to walk in your truth and in your ways. And Lord, I know that there's a lot going on right now in several families in this congregation, and I just lift them up to you right now, and we cry out for your mercy and your grace in those situations. We pray, God, that you would bring healing and wholeness. And God, we rejoice with Dolores this morning for where she is at. She is home. She is free from pain. Her mind is renewed. She's got a brand new mind, Lord. How amazing is that? And so, Lord, we thank you for that today. God, I pray for Ed and Linda and Bill and Brittany and the rest of the families, Lord, that you would just strengthen and guide them right now, that you would be with them. God, we thank you today for who you are and what you want to accomplish through each person in this fellowship. So we give you this day in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you guys.